Well, good morning. How are you guys feeling? Now, this is the 10:30 service, and you got an extra hour of sleep. So everybody should be feeling pretty good. The first service, I was like, did anybody get an extra hour of sleep? And they just kind of that face where it's like, I guess not. But anyways, it's good to see y'all. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad that you're here with us this weekend. To those of us, to those of you joining us online, we're grateful that you're joining with us as well. We've been in a series for the past few weeks called Pace Yourself. And today's part four of that series, looking at this idea of this Sabbath rest, that God has not created us to go at the max all the time, and it's definitely not the way to enjoy life, living like that. So we looked at this idea that the Sabbath is an invitation to slow our pace so that we can enjoy the race, that we're trying to protect our lives and our families from doing so many things all the time that we can't really enjoy anything. And this morning, we're going to look at this idea of making the most of the time that God has given you. You know, the moments in our lives, the time that we have to live is really a precious gift from God. And we want to think about this idea of how can we make the most of the time that we have. We all want to make the most of our lives. I know that's just a general thing, but it's easier said than done most of the time. Do you ever wish you could go back and just get a moment back? When you wish you could change the way that conversation ended, or you wish, hey, maybe I could get another try at that particular day in my life? I love the movie Groundhog Day. If you haven't seen it, the premise of the movie is the main character, Phil, he gets this opportunity to relive the same day, February 2nd, over and over and over until he gets it right. So every day he wakes up right back where he started, he goes throughout his day, and if he doesn't get it right, he wakes right back up in the same spot. And finally, when he gets everything together and he changes as a person, he finally gets to move on to February 3rd. And I got to thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if life worked that way? I mean, I wake up in the morning and go throughout the day, and then it's like, that's not going to cut it. Let's try that one again. You know, start going through that moment. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Why would a person ever do that? Let's back up. Let's try that again. It'd be amazing if we could try it until we got it right. But life doesn't work that way. And I don't have to tell you guys this. You know this. We have one life. It's a very small amount of time. The Bible calls it a vapor. God's given us this one life with these moments to make the most of. And nobody wakes up in the morning and says, hey, I really want to waste my life today. I really want to just blow all the opportunities ahead of me. I hope that today I can ruin a relationship. Man, I hope today I can ruin my career. Man, I hope today I can make a regret in my life. Nobody wakes up like that. Instead, we all have this desire that says, I want to make the most of the time that I have. I want to look back on my life and say, I did well with the time that God gave me. But if that's the desire that we have, we want to make the most of this time, the most of our lives, why don't we? Why do we struggle with this? There's a lot of different reasons. I picked just three that I think most everybody in the room can relate to. One is that we forget that our days are numbered. Especially if you're young like me, it's easy to just think, I have all the time in the world. And so we waste so much time just because we forget the simple principle that your days are numbered. Another reason is because it's easier not to. Why don't we make the most of our time more? It's just easier not to. You just hit cruise control. You kind of take life as it comes and just survive and make it through it. But we don't make the most because sometimes that requires a lot of effort, a lot of thinking, and it's just easier not to. One other big reason is I think we're too busy to think about it. Sometimes I get to the end of my week and I'm like, what just happened? You know, you ever been there where, man, it's just so fast-paced, it's like, I'm just lucky to survive the week, let alone try to make the most of these moments. So whatever the excuse is, here's the amazing thing about God's word this morning. God's word is inviting us today to stop making excuses and instead to say right now, right here, I'm going to start making the most of my time more of the time. What would your life look like if you could pick an area, if you could begin to make small decisions, begin to think a little differently and say, I can't do everything, I'm not perfect, but I can start making the most of the time more of the time. And that's the idea we're going to unpack over the next few minutes, is that God is calling us to recalibrate our lives around him in a way that we can truly take this time that he's given us and make the most of it for him. Because he's so worthy and he deserves that from our lives. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. We'll start in verse 15. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a church in Ephesus over 2,000 years ago. You would think that over 2,000 years ago that they would have some different issues that he would be talking about. But it is amazing to me that as you read these words, people 2,000 years ago struggle with the same things that you do, struggle with the same things that I do. That's what I love about the Bible. It is a book about real life. And so I'd encourage you to read it if you don't read the Bible. It's amazing how true to life today it is. Starting in verse 15, listen to what Paul wrote to these people. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So there's two main things that we need to look at in this passage. Two main things that we need to understand. Two main things that we need to do if we want to make the most of our time, more of the time. The first thing is learn to think rightly about your time. Learn to think rightly about your time. The way that you think about life, the way that you understand and perceive your life and the world around you determines the way that you live. And in the same way, the way that you look at your time, the way that you understand your time determines how you spend your time. So before we try to work on our action plan or like, okay, what are we going to do to make the most of our time? Paul says we need to understand our time the right way. Look with me in verse 15. He says, so be careful how you live. That word so there is very important because it tells us the first 14 verses right before here, if we want to understand how to make the most of our time, we got to understand something about what Paul has just said. In verses 1 and 2, Paul says, be imitators of God as beloved children because Christ gave his life up for you as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice for you so that you could be pleasing to God. And then a few verses down, he says, you were darkness, but now you are light. That you don't just do some good things now, but Paul says you've had an identity change. That God took you from living in darkness, and now you live in light. That God has done this work in our lives. And before, if we're going to make the most of our time, Paul says you have to understand, you have to see, you have to remember that you are not just some person living life, hoping you get it right. But that God has done something incredible in the life of the Christian. You see, what Paul's talking about here is if you want to think about your time rightly, you have to understand who you are, that God has rescued you, that God has redeemed you, that God has saved you, that he has brought you from death to life, it says in Ephesians 2, a few verses earlier, that God has given you life in Christ. He has opened your eyes to see what life is really all about, showed you who Christ is and what it means to live for him. And now Paul says if we want to use our time wisely and make the most of it, we have to remember that. We have to learn to think like that, learn to see all of our life in light of this great thing that God has done. And so he says here in verse 15, be careful how you live. In light of all that God has done for us in Christ by his grace, Paul says, don't be careless about your life. Don't get stuck thinking, it's my life, I'll do what I want, or it really doesn't matter, I'll just kind of float by, just whatever, watch the seconds tick down. Paul says, not at all. You are the light of the world, the children of God, so be careful. Literally what this verse says is pay attention to exactly what is happening in your life. That's what this means here, to be careful. It means know exactly what is going on in every moment. Pay careful attention. Now, why do you think Paul says that? At least two reasons here. One is because you are not your own if you are a Christian. You were bought with a price, 1 Corinthians tells us. The blood of Jesus was shed to purchase you, that God loves you so much he wanted to rescue you from yourself, that he set you free and he purchased you, not just so that you could go do whatever you want, but so that you could live for him the way you were created. Paul says you have to see that we are not our own. Our time is not our own. It's been bought by Jesus. If I'm going to give my life to Jesus, I have to give my time to Jesus because it belongs to him. But another thing that he says here, I believe, is it's because there's a watching world. Believe it or not, there's people that are paying attention to what you do with your time, to how you live your life. It could be coworkers that are watching to see if Jesus really makes a difference in the way that you work. Could be family members that are watching you and your family deciding, is Jesus really making a difference? But here's what Paul's saying. It would be a shame if the whole world was watching your life and paying attention to the things you're doing and you weren't. Like you were on another channel just doing something else and you missed out on the opportunities to shine who God is, to shine how great Christ is in the midst of these opportunities to the world that's watching us. When I was in high school, I was a drummer in the marching band. And one thing we did was we went to competitions and football games and all these things. So we traveled quite a bit on the bus with the marching band. And we had this one rule that our instructor always told us over and over. In everything you do and everywhere you go, you represent this school. So think about what you do. And I love that looking back because I know it's one of those things taking 100 teenagers somewhere, I know exactly why he said that. So basically he said, don't be dumb. Don't make this school look bad by what you do. And in a very similar way, what Paul is saying is the way we spend our time, the way we live our lives is a direct representation of who we belong to. So he says, be careful. Pay attention. Don't just get into cruise control, but slow down and pay attention to how you are living. But he continues, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. I love that. Don't live like fools. It's just a good principle. You can use that. You can use that on your kids. Just don't live like fools. Why does he say that? Because that's not who you are. A fool is governed by two things, their feelings and their desires. And here's what that means. That means if I want it, I go get it. If I feel it, then I'm going to do it. If it feels right, then it must be right. If you live your life by your impulses and by your desires, do you know who else does that? Five-year-olds. And Paul says, you can't take the logic of a five-year-old and apply it to your adult life or your teenage life and say, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. He says, that's what a fool does. A fool says, oh, but I just feel it. Paul says, you have to have something stronger than feelings. Heaven forbid your feelings would be wrong. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all else. Who can understand it? Do you know what that tells you? Don't follow Disney and trust your heart. That says, trust what God says. He knows a lot better than we do. So Paul says, don't just live by your feelings and desires, but live like those who are wise. So to live like those who are wise, it's the exact opposite. It means be people that think. Be people that base your decisions and your reactions and your moments on something more than just your feelings. Base them on the right thinking. Look in verse 17. He says, don't act thoughtlessly. And there it is right there. If you want to make the most of your time, think about what you're doing. Understand how your moments need to be lived. Don't just do what comes easiest or most natural if you want to make the most of your time. This last part here, he says, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And so here's the amazing thing is, how do we really grow in this wisdom? How do we become these people who live like we're wise? Like, where do we get that from? And he brings it back here and he makes it very clear that being a wise person doesn't just mean you do some stuff, or being a wise person doesn't mean you just hope you get it right. He says, wisdom is found in this one source. And if you want it, you can have as much of it as you want. That one source, Colossians 2 tells us, is that in him, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Do you know who him is? It's Jesus. Thank you. That's pretty much always the right answer. But it's Jesus Christ. He is the absolute only source for true wisdom. So how do we get that? I'm about to blow your minds. I know you've probably never heard this, but it's incredible. The way that you get this wisdom is you spend time with Jesus. It's what I love about this. The more I grow as a Christian, the more I just stop and say, God, this is not complicated. It's just not. The Lord spells it out and says, if you would just do that, you'd be all right. And I'm like, but I'm struggling. He's like, I know, it's because it's so simple that I don't understand. But what Paul is saying here is the way to grow in this wisdom is we spend time with God and his word. And I know that sometimes it's not easy, and I know sometimes it's not comfortable, and you say, but it's hard to understand. You're not going to understand it until you start getting in it. You don't understand Spanish just because you learned one word. You have to get fluent. You have to let your mind be saturated in it. Paul says, as you learn more and more about the heart of God, more about the heart of Christ and what he wants for your life, it will change the way that you see everything. You'll begin to look at your time in a totally different way than you ever have before because you begin to see things from the perspective of the one who created time. Don't you think he knows something good about it? So some things that our thinking might be shaped by when we begin to let Christ shape our thinking as we spend time with him, as we start to see our time as a gift from God for his glory. And that's not something you can just teach somebody. That's something that God has to work into. But man, my time is not my own. It's a gift from God for his glory. People matter more than productivity. It's not just about what I get done in the day. It's about how I love other people. What would that do to your life if you could have that kind of thinking as you go throughout your day? Learning to think with the end in mind. How will I view this moment 10 years from now? Man, if we could just remember that one, we'd be better off in a lot of moments. How will I think about this moment from eternity? If we could think like this, how would our lives change? My days are numbered. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Why? Because if you could just remember that your days are numbered, I believe that we could begin to live more intentionally with the days we have. Moses said that. He lived to be 120, so he had a good perspective on time. No matter how busy we are, we need to pace our lives to make the most of our time. I will say, if you right now cannot make the most of the time and the opportunities that you have because you're so busy, whatever the circumstances are, there's a problem. I think that's what Paul's addressing here, is there's never a real excuse for why we can't make the most of the time, no matter what. I read this article this past week, and there's a question in it that was really challenging as I started thinking about it. In the article, he asked this question: what would your schedule look like if God made it instead of you? That's a pretty good question. What would stay the same? What would need to change? Do you think God would bring more joy or less joy into your life? Do you think that God would be able to handle your schedule better or worse? And I love that question because that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. What if we offered our time to the one who invented it and said, I trust you with it? Because he knows how we need to live our lives to make the most of them for his glory and for our good. So the first thing, we need to learn to think rightly about our time. Secondly, we need to learn to spend our time wisely. To spend your time wisely. To make the most of our time, to make the most of your time more of the time, simply means being intentional. I mean, it does require effort, and it requires thinking, and it requires slowing down enough to process and to be careful like he's talking about here. But then it's about intentionally taking steps, and it's about making the most of these moments in our lives. When I was a teenager, somebody told me this, and I've always remembered it, so it must be a good one. It's always stuck with me. He said, if you want to make sure your time is balanced in your life so that you can make the most of it, there's three areas you need to pay attention to. One, are you spending enough time with Jesus? And I don't mean enough in a guilt way, like, oh, no, I need more. But I mean, really, are you comfortable with the amount of time that you spend with Jesus? Or to have a healthy walk with him, do you need to spend more time with him? It's a good question. The second thing was, is your time devoted to loving and serving other people? Is some of your time, hopefully a good portion of your time, devoted to loving and serving other people? And then the other one was, are you taking time to take care of yourself? Which is big. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't love other people well, and your relationship with God suffers. So all three, I love that package there. And if you write it out, it's Jesus, others, and you, and it spells joy. That's really probably why I remembered it. But it's so true. If you can balance your time out that, give Jesus the time he deserves. Spend your life and your time living and serving other people, and then make sure you take care of yourself along the way. Time for rest, time for solitude. It's okay to have some time to say, I just need to make sure that I'm healthy, that I'm ready to go back out there. And so those three are a great way of thinking about your time wisely. Let's look at verse 15 again. In verse 15, Paul says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And then in verse 16, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. I probably don't have to convince you that these days are evil. He wrote this 2,000 years ago in a very different circumstance, but we live in a world today that is just as evil as it was back then. And we live in a world that opposes everything that God is for, It goes against everything that he wants for this world. And Paul is saying, that's where we live as representatives of Christ. And he says, we can't go into this world and think that everybody's going to support what we're doing. The culture is pushing back on us, saying, follow us, follow us. And Paul says, what you've got to do is push back and start making the most of every opportunity that comes along. And it's all for the glory of God. I love this phrase here, make the most of every opportunity. And the original language is, and it translates, it's this idea of someone who's looking for a bargain, someone who's looking for the best deal possible, that you've got this limited amount of resources to say, where's the best deal? That's where I want to spend my time. I want to make the most of what I've got. Now imagine you have $10, okay? What is this? November 5th. You have $10 to get through the rest of the month, okay? How would you maybe make your financial decisions differently if you only had $10 to get through the rest of the month? That changes everything compared to if you have $2,000 to get through the rest of the month, doesn't it? It's very different because your time or your resources are not as limited. Your time in your life, I don't know how much you have, and you may be young, you may be old. None of us know how much time we have. It really doesn't matter what age you are because we don't have tomorrow guaranteed. God says you have this very small moment, this very small life, this very small amount of resources, and it would be a shame for you just to blow it on nothing, for you just to spend up and to buy up all this wasted stuff instead of making the most of your time saying, I made the moments count. I took advantage of the moments. Your time is made up of opportunities. It doesn't matter if you're a clerk at a grocery store or a welder or a teacher or a stay-at-home mom. When you go to that job, you have opportunities ahead of you. This week, you have opportunities. In your neighborhood, at the grocery store, at the restaurant, in the park, driving in the car with your kids on the way to school, in your free time, in all these different moments, we have opportunities this week. And God says, the question is, are you going to make the most of your time, more of the time, or are you just going to pass them by? Some of these moments are going to be bigger than others, but they all matter. It's the way that you speak to other people. It's the attitude that you have. It's the way that you react to your teenager who's losing their mind. It's the way that you react to your parents that are losing their mind. It's the way that you pray for people. It's the things you could say. It's the people that you could call and thank and encourage and check on. It's the meals you could cook for somebody. It's the coworker that you can't stand, but you could help and serve. It's these moments that happen over and over in our lives that we can either say, oh, that's just life, or we can say, what an opportunity. And what seems so small and insignificant in our lives, what if we could say, I want to make the most of the time, more of the time. And begin to take these small moments and to make a big difference in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen with these opportunities. Like I said, they might be big moments, they might not be, but we never know, and so we need to be intentional. It's inevitable that we're going to have some regrets. We're just not going to get it right every time, and I hate that. But what if you could say right now, in this area of my life, I'm not okay with that being a regret? Or what if you could say, I'm going to start doing something in this area to get rid of those regrets so I don't look back one day saying, man, I wish I would have worked a little bit less, spent a little more time with my family. Or you can look back one day and say, man, I wish I'd have cared a little bit less about what I accomplished and more about the people that were around me. Our time is so short. We desperately need to make it count. A couple weeks ago, I was really, really, really tired. It had been one of those weeks where I went way beyond my capacity, and I just got to the end of the day, and I was so tired that I didn't feel good. You know that feeling? Like you're just like, I've pushed it way too far. And so I was tucking my daughter into bed and told her goodnight. Man, honestly, I was trying to speed through it because all I could think about is that end of the day moment when you crash on the bed, and it's like, it's so different than every other part of the day because you're just like, oh, I'm done. And I was longing for that, and that's all I could think about. I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, good night, Jesus loves you, all that good stuff. And so then it's like, I'm just wanting to get to bed. I want to get to bed. I know, it's awful. And so I'm like, I'd settle her down, and then I'm walking out of the room, and then the moment she says it in the sweetest voice in the universe, will you tell me a bedtime story? And I know, it's like, it's so sweet, and I'm just like, I know, and I'm a monster, I know. So, and so I look back at her, and I mean, she's got the cutest face, and this is how bad I am. I'm like, tomorrow. I mean, and I know that I'm a monster, like I said. And so I looked at her in the face, and I said, I'll tell you one tomorrow, sweet. I said, I'm just so tired. I don't feel good. I just need to go downstairs and rest. And so she was like, okay, you know, and so walked out of the room, and I got to the hallway. And man, it's like God dropped this bomb in my soul. And man, he said, looking back on this moment, 10 years from now, are you going to care that you got downstairs 10 minutes earlier? Are you going to be glad that you spent that time to tell your daughter a story and to encourage her and to let her know that her dad is never too tired to spend time with her? Because that's what I want to teach my daughter. I want her to know that there's a God who's never too busy, who's never too tired, who will always stop, who will always pay attention to you, who will always be faithful, who will always be there for you. And I want to show her that by being that kind of dad for her. And God dropped that into my heart, and I was like, what are you going to do now? And so I turned around, and I'm grateful for the conviction of the Lord that he deals with us that way. And he challenges us, and he stops us, and I walked back into her room, and I told her a story about some crazy thing, because I'm an awful storyteller. And so, but she loved it, and we got to spend some time together, and I just got to cherish a few extra moments. And you know what's funny is I still got downstairs, I still got the same feeling, I still got the same rest. Everything I wanted, I still got, but I lost one thing. I lost a regret that I didn't spend more time with my daughter. That's what Paul is talking about here. What if these little moments that seem like, no, I'll do it tomorrow, it's not a big deal. I'll talk to them tomorrow about it, it's not a big deal. What if we stopped pushing things off and said, what about right now, Lord? What if I could do something small right now to make the most of my time more of the time? Our pace of life may be extremely busy. I know as well as anyone else what a busy schedule looks like. But we have to be so careful not to live in this pace where we can't slow down enough for the things that matter. So we have to learn to think rightly and spend our time wisely. So here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. What is one area of your life? What is one area of your life that you need to make the most of your time more of the time? Now, if you're like me, there's a bunch of areas. But rather than trying to fix everything at once, what if you just picked one area of your life this week and said, I'm going to make some intentional steps to work on that? Who knows what kind of things you might be able to get rid of, what kind of regrets you might be able to get rid of by saying, I'm going to make the most of my time, more of the time in that area. You know, maybe for you, that area is your relationship with God. And as you think back on the past 6 months, you're thinking, man, I've spent very little time with Jesus. I'm not in the Word. My prayer life is shriveled up and pretty much non-existent. I'm living in my own power, my own strength. I'm just not living in a relationship with Him like I need to be. So what if right now you could start saying, I want to think rightly about my time. Start feeding truth to your heart and say, my time is a gift from God. It's not mine. He's given me this gift so that I can live for Him, that I can know Him. It's the greatest opportunity in the world to know Christ. So you start feeding your mind with that truth that I need to make the most of this time with God. And then maybe you start to make some decisions this week. I'm going to take my commute time. And maybe you can start using your commute time more purposefully. So I'm going to make the most of that 30-minute drive or however long you have. So I'm going to listen to worship music, or hey, I'm going to use that time to pray or to meditate on God's truth. I'm going to be intentional with that time so that I can grow closer to the Lord. Or maybe you need to get up 30 minutes earlier. And as your body tells you, no, that's ridiculous, you speak that truth into your heart that says, am I really going to look back 10 years from now and wish I slept 30 minutes more, or that I'd gotten up 30 minutes earlier and spent time with the Lord? Or maybe that doesn't work for you, because I used to work and I used to have to be at work at 4 a.m., and I will let you know from personal experience, 3 a.m. is not a great time of the day for me to read my Bible and pray. It's very difficult for me to be like, yeah, Lord, let's go get them. So what I did during that season of my life is I dedicated my lunchtime. Every day I would sit at a table and I would just read God's word. And that was a time, because I couldn't do it in the morning as well. So whatever you need to do, it's thinking, how can I spend more time reading God's word, praying and walking with him, thinking of practical things that maybe you could start doing this week to make the most of your time, more of your time. I have a friend in our missional community. His name's Brad. About a year ago, Brad was just a normal guy, just living life, went to work, came home, watched TV, relaxed, did the same thing the next day. He just kind of floating by, letting the seconds tick down. And then one day this opportunity came up, and we were taking a mission trip with the church, and someone asked him if he would go. Brad was like, you know, I really don't know about going on that trip. But he started thinking about his relationship with God and how it had kind of dwindled. And he knew that, man, I really need to get serious about it. But he was scared. He pushed it off. And so finally he couldn't get away from it. He said, I'm going to say yes to this mission trip. And so Brad took a couple days off work. And he went on this mission trip. And he had no idea what God would do over those couple days. I mean, God changed everything. Brad had a brand new perspective through that trip. He started to remember that, man, life is not about my job. Life is not about just doing what I want to do. Life is about Jesus and making much of him. And when Brad came back from that trip, God had like lit a fire in him. And so he said, man, I want to start serving more at the church. And he got plugged into our missional community. And I was talking to him last week, and he's been talking about how much he loves the Bible now. A year ago, he was the guy who said, I don't understand it. I don't like to read it. And now he's like, I can't get enough of it. God has rocked his world because Brad made one decision. I'm tired of making excuses for why I can't do this, why I can't do that. It's time to say yes and make the most of the time with the Lord. So maybe for you, it's not your relationship with God. Maybe that's going great, and I pray that it is. Maybe for you, you need to make the most of your time, more of the time in your marriage. And everything's going great, and you got great friendships and a great job, but your marriage is back here on the back burner, and it's just dwindling down. Maybe this week you need to say, I need to start taking steps to make the most of that time more of the time. Maybe for you it's investing in your kids, taking the precious time you have to teach them about Christ and how to walk with him. Because one day you're going to look back and say, I wish I had more time. Maybe for you, it's another area. You know, maybe you're retired and you say, I've got a lot of free time. And maybe for you, it's, Lord, what do you want me to do with this free time? I don't want to waste the last precious years that you've given me. How can I make much of you with this time? Wherever you are, I know everybody's got one area this morning. So I challenge you, make the most of your time, more of the time, in at least one area this week. And see if God doesn't bless you in the process. I want to leave you with one last truth as we move into a response time. If you're like me, I'm motivated right now. I mean, I'm pretty motivated to make the most of my time. After going through this stuff for the past couple weeks, I mean, it's strong on my heart. And we get all fired up and it's like, I'm really going to do something. But if you leave here today in your own power and try to say, I'm going to make the most of my time more of the time, and I'm just going to try really hard, eventually you're going to get tired and you're going to go right back to where you started. Go back to hitting cruise control, because we can't just get inspired. We can't just get motivated and then try to be different in our own power. What we really need is we need an encounter with the King of Kings. It's that if we really want to make the most of our time, more of the time, we need to see the one who had all eternity, who stepped out of heaven, who laid aside his glory, and who came and became a man, and he made the most of his time by giving it away to die for you on a cross. And he did that because he loved you, and he wanted to rescue you from wasting the life that God has given you on a dark and empty world. And he wanted to give you life so that you could live that life to the fullest for the one who matters. And when you encounter that kind of love, when you see the greatness of that Savior, it makes you look at this world and say, no, you've got nothing. He's the one that's got everything. He's the one that I want. I'm tired of wasting time. And that's what God is calling you to. Not a life of trying hard, but a life of being in awe of your Savior. When you're in awe of him, then you'll make the most of your time, more of the time. So if you don't hear anything else this morning, run to Jesus and cling to him until he's your everything. That's power. That's life change. Nothing will be the same after that. want to ask you guys to bow your heads. As we think about making the most of our time, more of the time, you can't even begin to do that if you don't have this one thing, and that is a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't know him, if you haven't experienced the life-transforming grace of God in your life, then there's no way you'll ever be able to live for anything besides this world and yourself. But Jesus says there's something better, and all you need is a relationship with him. He died on the cross for your sin. He was buried, and he rose again in victory so that anyone who comes to him could be set free and could live in a relationship with him forever. So if that's you this morning, I want to invite you to start that relationship, to make the most of your life by getting to know this Savior. It's as simple as praying these words after me to start this journey with Jesus. So if that's you, pray this in the quiet of your heart. Jesus, I trust you. I believe that you are enough for me. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose again, and that you promise anyone who gives their life to you will never be the same. I surrender my life to you today. I don't want to waste it. I want to make the most of it. Here's my life. In Jesus' name, amen.